and welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today, we are in West London to link up with a lady who is a dominant force within the world of Sky Sports. She made history in 2021 by becoming the first woman to commentate on F1 on British television. She's a mum, a wife, and a powerhouse of positivity when it comes to destigmatizing mental health. Natalie Pinkham, welcome to the Monday Mile podcast.
Thank you very much. How lovely to be with you today.
It's great to be back with you. Last time we saw each other, I think we reconnected on the London Marathon start line.
Yeah. I mean, I was with you, but it was brief because you just disappeared into a little plume of smoke as I languished at the back somewhere, just trying to finish it.
That is far too kind of you. You not only survived, but you completed your first marathon.
Hello.
In aid of Samaritans. Tell me about some of the work you've been doing with Samaritans, because you're changing the game.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but I do want to say how incredibly motivating and powerful you were at the start of that race, because you really helped me. So thank you, your little pocket rocket.
Whilst I shove my phone into your back pocket. It was honestly such an honour. We had such a special morning.
Yeah.
Myself, you and Jenny Falconer, all getting the breakfast gains on point.
How many times did we go to the loo?
I reckon at least seven. Yeah, we were like the team toilet club.
I know, it was the pure panic, particularly after you've had kids, that you're not going to go more than about a mile without needing a wee. But no, listen, it was an amazing day. It was genuine privilege to be a part of. And every time I ran past a group of the Samaritan supporters, they just lifted you. Like, you can do it, Pinks. It was just incredible. So yeah, genuine honour to do it. Take in the capital and do it for a great cause. And Samaritans are one of the four charities that we support at Flagstock, which is a music festival that we set up in memory of our great friend Caroline Flack. And we want to basically find a safe space to talk about mental health and celebrate life through music. I feel like music is the perfect platform to do just that. And it's a lovely coming together of people who wouldn't necessarily address mental health issues in their own or their friends or family's lives otherwise. One of the things we're doing this year, because we feel passionately that, and we've had a lot of anecdotal evidence to support this, that you can't prise people out of their comfort zones to talk about their vulnerabilities and not offer them any kind of pathway to recovery. So one of the things that we've been working on is an AI solution, or at least an AI support mechanism for mental health. And a lot of people panic when they hear the letters AI. I think it's like the beginning of the end, but actually this is one that could actually have a genuine positive impact, because so many people, particularly young people, fear judgment, so they don't want to go to a teacher or a parent to talk about their struggles. Equally, we have a dearth of therapists in this country. We just can't train up enough, quickly enough, to address the problem, the crisis that we're in. And so this is an avatar that you can curate their accent, their ethnicity, their gender,
wow,
and then hopefully feel some kind of rapport, connection with. Again, you've got to remember that in the gamified era, like my kids constantly wanting to be on games, and this is a way of them, 3 o'clock in the morning, if they're having a panic attack about an exam the next day, they can ask questions that hopefully can be addressed in a sensitive way. Obviously, we've got to be safeguarding any vulnerable people, and we will make it clinically robust and effective. But whatever we're able to achieve has got to be better than the situation that we find ourselves in at the moment, which is that there simply aren't enough therapists to help.
It's definitely such a positive step in the right direction. And I think such a huge part of therapy is finding that connection. And
100%.
That isn't always the easiest thing to find, let alone even starting the conversation of going to therapy. There is a lot of stigma around mental health. How, as a festival, have you put in place this opportunity to destigmatize some of the big stereotypes that we hear? People are selfish. Why have they left us? You know, there's a lot of words that are still bandied around like that.
Around
suicide.
And
I feel what you guys are doing is helping to change that narrative.
Well, I mean, look, any kind of positive impact we can have is worth it. Anything we can do. I think the Samaritans are incredible in that respect. Charlie Waller Trust, a suicide prevention charity, another one that we work with. And then the two other charities are Choose Love and Mind. We wanted to offer
preemptive and reactive support for mental health. But in terms of what we can do at Flagstock, which by the way is July the 22nd, it's a Monday. Condra, can you come?
Day after your birthday. Day after my birthday, boom.
It's actually a party for you. Boom. Just for you.
I wish it was, but yeah. No, it's going to be a celebration of Caroline and all things mental health.
Yeah, and actually what we want to do now is throw it forward and create a really positive legacy for her. And I think music is a really powerful way to do that, because I feel like music can talk to you in perhaps a way you might feel uncomfortable having a conversation.
Who's going
to
be there? Who are we?
So Ollie Mers is doing a full set.
Boom.
Come on, Ollie.
I will be up the front.
I know you will. Tom Walker is performing. He's amazing. Actually debuting a new single. He writes a lot about mental health, and he's just got such an incredible voice. And you know, we are so honoured to have him there as well. We've got Shaznay Lewis from All Saints coming. We've got Chesney Hawks coming. We've got Gokwan DJing. Got Joe Wicks doing a massive workout.
I feel like we need to do the workout. We need to come together through sweat again.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm there. I love Joe Wicks. I'm a bit of a fan.
Talking of positivity, I mean, he just brings the energy and the love.
He exudes it on every level. And Nat, whilst we're walking past, I have to ask, because I've just had a lovely coffee in this restaurant. Why did we meet here specifically?
First of all, I've never had a coffee there because I don't drink coffee, but I've heard that it is a good coffee.
It was banging. It was like pretty good oat milk.
Beautiful.
It had the West London vibe.
So that's Sam's Brasserie, and it's a gorgeous addition to Brentford. Brentford is really up and coming now, and yeah, it's an honour to live here, and it's all happening, you know.
Go on Brentford. And down here as well.
Look here, we're on the water in Brentford, which is always a bonus. My dad has worked in property all his life, and he said to me, if you can see water, so it's not coming through your ceiling, you've got a good investment.
It makes you happy.
I think so. It's very calming, isn't it?
I run along the river. Do you ever run along the river?
Yeah. I did loads of my marathon training along the river. But they're going to develop all of this. We're going to watch Wimbledon on here in the summer and have like outdoor cinema. I'll bring the kids down here. So yeah,
it's going to be a vibe. Alongside all of your work and campaigning within mental health, you also have quite the busy day job. There are 24 Formula One races in a year. You've been on the circuit for over 10 years.
Yeah. Can't believe it.
How are you still standing so strong and so fit, Natalie Pinkham? No. You're a marathon champion now.
Definitely not a champion. Marathon survivor, maybe, but
we're all survivors. Yeah.
So, I just think I enjoy being busy and I enjoy the juggle. I mean, it can be exhausting. We've got busy lives. I think my husband and my kids kind of thrive off that in a way. I don't know.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, but you know, I'm a work in progress. I haven't nailed it yet. I'm still learning on the job.
I don't believe that for one minute. How do you stay so intact and fit, both mentally and physically, where a job does require you to fly around the world in multiple directions?
Well, thankfully for me, Sky are incredibly supportive of the fact that I'm a mum of young kids. So they really kind of work hard to help me balance that. I don't do all the races anymore, and we kind of work through the year to what's manageable. And then I try to involve my kids and husband in as much of what I do as I can. I think it's really important for kids to see their parents' work ethic. It's important for them to learn a similar work ethic, and also, you know, that you're all invested in it. It's not me just going off on my own.
This is a family affair.
There you go. But funnily enough, they don't come to all the races. They all stick their hands up for Monaco.
I was going to say, is there a favourite one there?
Not the Spa, within the Pinkham calendar. Yeah, well, Spa's amazing, but it just rains a lot.
I love that you're just trying to like caveat that. Yeah, we love Spa. Yeah. I definitely go to Monaco by choice.
Yeah, but Monaco is obviously great fun. The kids love it because they can come out for May half term. So it works well. Now, this is where I did a lot of my marathon training.
Really?
So I'd go over the bridge and then I would just keep running past Sky and all the way down.
Oh, Sky just there?
Yeah.
And we're going to walk you all the way to the office now.
Yeah, so I think, look, it's any working parent will tell you that the juggle is real and it's, you know.
Do you have a favourite race?
I love coming home, so I love going to Silverstone. Brilliant. But I love any of the races that have got a decent city. there so that you can go and explore. I mean, I used to do a lot more of that before I had kids. Now I kind of get in and get out. But yes, you know, Texas, Austin is just amazing. Singapore, brilliant. Holland is really good.
All the Verstappen fans.
Yeah, but they just love to party and they really create an amazing atmosphere.
Do you have any secrets to travel wellness?
Now, I would say drink loads of water, no alcohol, get your sleep whenever you can. But the reality is, the minute you get on that plane, you're offered a cold beer, you take it. Well, some people do.
It's not that easy, is it?
Yeah, look, obviously, sleep's at a premium. I really try to bag as much sleep as I can now because it's hard, isn't it? With work and crossing time zones and then coming back and doing the school run, I always try to do the school run, even if I've landed like 2 hours before, I'll always try and do that because, you know, the kids just want routine and they want to know that you're there for them. So that is vital.
It's a funny one because I feel like with sleep, initially we were told, yeah, try and sleep in the time zone you're going to, and then actually it gets to a point where that becomes irrelevant and it is literally just bag it, get the sleep in, drink the water, and then try and stay away from the aeroplane food was always our secret. But I don't think I ever boded too well with that one.
Do you know what? I am a big believer in just taking whatever sleep you can get whenever you can get it. Honestly, because when a minute I try to stay awake and push through, I'm then overtired and can't kit properly later. So I just, and honestly, I could fall asleep standing up. I get so tired. Yeah, I can't necessarily stay asleep. I still sleepwalk a lot. So yeah, I have very disruptive nights as it is. So.
Is that a regular occurrence for you, the sleepwalking?
Yes.
Yeah. That must be quite scary.
It is for my husband, yeah.
You're just out in the bedroom in the middle of the night, attacking the wardrobe.
Oh, I know.
Have you got any random sleepwalking stories?
Oh my God, Ames, I've got so many.
Go on, give us one, give us a classic.
Off the top of my head, I remember going to Belgium and being in the team hotel, but there were a couple of other teams within our hotel as well. And I just was going around banging on doors, telling them there was a fire alarm in my sleep. Yeah, I like woke everyone up. And thankfully my producer knew, honestly. It's so embarrassing.
No, that's actually quite scary though, isn't it?
I know, right?
Yeah, you can laugh. That isn't funny.
In the moment, it's definitely not. You can laugh on reflection, I think.
Yeah, really.
But my producer thankfully knew that I sleptwalked, so said,
it's cool, everybody.
Don't listen to a word you say. That's crazy.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Do you have a routine that you sort of stick to here that you can take away with you? Or do you have to be fluent with your work demands?
Yeah, I think you've always got to be able to adapt. I think actually that's a key about Formula One, is being able to react to changing circumstances. Like if you ask any of the drivers or strategy teams, you know, it's all about how good you are at responding in the moment. And I think the same can be said for, you know, the wider F1 community. And then also being a parent, you know, suddenly you might get a call from school that your kid's got a temperature. You've got to be able to have a plan B, C and D. And you've got, can't be fazed by that. Yeah. I think everything's got to be fluid, really.
Is that something you've learned? Or have you always been like that? Because that's definitely an art.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Well, I think I probably learned it from my mum. Because she is the queen of the juggle.
The juggling act.
She just, I don't know, and I've watched in awe of her doing it, and she just does it to an incredible level, because she's still a full-time practicing barrister. She cares for my dad, who's got dementia. She runs a charity, and she's an insanely good flapjack maker.
No way.
For all of her grandchildren.
Wow.
And she's just a good girl that likes to go out and have a glass of wine and a night out with me from time to time. I'm taking her out for her birthday, actually, on Friday. So my cousin is a stand-up comedian, and she's flying over from Canada to do an improv show in central London. And that's where I'm taking my mum on Friday night for her birthday.
That is so, so cool.
Yeah.
Does she know?
So mum knows she's having a night out, but she doesn't know that she's going to go and watch Naomi in stand-up.
Oh, that is incredible.
But poor Naomi's really nervous now because she's like suddenly all her family are coming down
to watch her. The pressure of the family. I love that. I thrive on the pressure of the family.
Yeah, I bet you do. I know, I can tell that about
you.
Brilliant.
Other than my Ninja Warrior debut where they'd flown over from Belfast to watch in Manchester and I headbutted the first section of the course and backflipped into the water off the tombs.
I bet you were amazing at Ninja Warrior.
Going out on the first hurdle.
No, but that didn't mean you were out, did it?
Yeah, that's it. Done.
What?
No practice. Have you ever done it?
No.
It's really
but
hard.
But I can imagine you'd be amazing at it.
I thought I'd be okay. But yeah. Confidence isn't always key in those scenarios. Let me tell you now. Oh. Working in F1, there's a close correlation with high performance.
Yeah.
Everything is ahead of its game. Is there anything working within the sport that you've learned that you've brought into your life?
Ah, that's a great question. So very interesting, because I think about that a lot, particularly the wider impact of Formula One, the world around it. I'm not directly answering your question straight away, but I'll just tell you this one thing. I interviewed this amazing guy called Professor Martin Elliott, and he certainly was a leading pediatric heart surgeon at Great Ormond Street. He's retired now, but he came and watched Formula One and learned there were so many principles, basic principles, that you can apply not only to the theatre, you know, the operating theatre, but also to wider life. And it's about time commitment, you know, being on time. It sounds such a simple thing, but he noticed that the race will always start at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. It will always start on time.
2:02.
And everyone else has to be ready for that start. Whereas in the operating theatre, you get going when everyone gets there. That in itself is not a good mindset to perform under pressure.
That's crazy.
Because actually getting everything together and delivering is crucial in whatever we do in life, right? Yeah. So I've always been on time now. My husband will laugh when he sees this. I am actually really good at timekeeping. Was I late for you today?
No.
No. Was there a miscommunication on the start time?
There was a fear of me being late because I hate being late.
I hate being late.
So I pushed it back to 10 past and we were there at 1 minute past.
Oh, so you were there on time.
I know, but I don't have a buffer for lateness. Yay. It's like, got to be on time. I'm on board with that. I find it disrespectful, actually.
Yeah, I totally
agree. But
that's
me personally.
No, like, I totally agree.
I wouldn't want to do it to someone. It's okay if you're 5-10 minutes late for me. I'm not going to be angry about it. But me personally, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, totally agree. And actually, definitely, Formula One's drilled that into me. One of our cameramen was late for a Michael Schumacher interview. This was years ago when we at one of our first races at Sky. He refused to do the interview.
No.
And I said, do you know what? Fair play.
Fair play.
And do you know, no one was ever late again. But we always get there 15 minutes before we start. And
clearly, timekeeping.
Timekeeping is crucial. But also, yes, I think the McLaren team doctor said to me last summer, I wasn't sleeping very well. And he said, you have to treat yourself like a high performance athlete. Yes, you're not getting into these cars and racing at 300 kilometers an hour, but you are under pressure to deliver live television for hours a day.
The mental capacity required.
Yeah, but you have to treat yourself like that. And I was a bit sort of embarrassed and be like, no. I didn't want to give myself that much, energy and attention. I thought, well, why do I matter in that respect? But actually, the minute you start treating yourself better like that, sleeping better, not drinking alcohol, drinking water, preparing yourself, having, you know, a process that you go through every race weekend, suddenly you'll see your performance in whatever capacity you're working in improve.
Have you noticed that?
Definitely, definitely.
Do you think that...
I'm just more organised now. I have to be more organised as a mum.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's a serious juggling act.
Yeah, but you just have to have a structure. And actually, in fairness, my husband's brilliant at that. He is so organised. And we plan our year in January.
That's
we know what
wild.
We're doing all year.
I suppose you've got a schedule to a degree that you
exactly,
can work
yeah.
with. When it comes to seeing the drivers as well and having that contact time that you do, their level of high performance, does that inspire you to be 100%. On your game even in a presenting capacity?
It genuinely does, because I think we're talking about a sport of marginal gains. We're talking about tenths of seconds, thousands of seconds making the difference between pole position. And we were at a race recently where one second
that's like
separated the top
ten. What is that in a car distance? It's like this.
I mean, I need Bernie Collins to tell me our strategy is sprinting. But look, we are talking such fine margins, and therefore anything you can do, these incremental gains to improve your performance in any role that you're doing in Formula One is worth it, right?
Do those fine margins excite you as a broadcaster?
Absolutely. They excite me as a human being, because I just think, you know, it's a bit like training for the marathon. You just do everything a little bit better and suddenly the overall performance has improved dramatically.
Do you think that in itself has inspired you to stay in the game for as long as you have?
Well,
with
maybe,
that same
yeah.
fresh outlook?
Yeah, one of the things I love about Formula One, and it just sort of keeps my interest, is that it's a sport that never rests on its laurels. It's always pushing to be better, to be different. It's never afraid to take risks and try something, go in a direction it hasn't necessarily gone before. That's amazing. You can't really say that about any other sport. As a result,
that's true, isn't it?
You know, you see peaks and troughs in terms of performance across all the teams, always learning.
Speaking of performance, we can't not touch on the fact that the British Grand Prix is just around the corner.
Yes!
What are the chances of a British win?
Well, I tell you what, pretty high, because I think McLaren are just coming into their own now, and suddenly we've seen a huge boost in performance for Mercedes. So we've got British driver at McLaren and Lando Norris, and then we've got George Russell and Lewis Hamilton at Mercedes.
It's quite exciting, isn't it?
I'm telling you, we've had such a convergence in terms of performance from at least four teams now are really in the hunt. So you could genuinely have eight contenders for pole when we get to Silverstone. Silverstone sort of lends itself in terms of track layout to the Red Bull because it's so high speed. But, you know, Max Verstappen hasn't been altogether happy with his car lately, and the others have had a big boost. Max has actually said he quite likes the fact that others are bringing the competition to him. You know, it's not always as enjoyable if you get a victory too easily, is it?
It makes it a lot more exciting to watch.
For everyone it does, yeah. I think there's very little separating the drivers in terms of performance. You know, you stick them all in equal machinery. That would be an incredible fight.
Talking about level playing field, do you think we will ever see women drive an F1?
Oh,
we've got Jamie Chadwick, yeah. Incredible female British driver.
Just won in NASCAR, yeah.
What are the chances of us seeing that evolution within F1?
It's not an if, it's a when.
Oh, I like it.
No, I'm telling you.
That is so cool.
There is nothing that precludes a woman physically from competing against the men. Some people might say, what about neck strength? A woman can train their neck. I mean,
we can get meat necks if we wanted to.
100%. But another factor has always been power steering in the lower formula. So
it's getting through those ranks.
Absolutely. Now, we do have power steering in Formula One. So once you get into Formula One, that isn't a physical consideration. Thing that girls need coming through is track time. And we are starting to see that more and more now with F1 Academy. They've got an incredible mentor and trailblazer in Susie Wolf, who is leading the charge for this. I'm telling you here and now, within our lifetimes, there will be a female Formula One world champion.
Not just a driver, a world champion.
That's big.
You heard it here. That's unreal. Do you like getting behind the wheel yourself? Have you driven much?
I would say I'm A for effort and commitment, probably D for execution and skill.
Honesty is the best policy on this podcast. We like that. I reckon I may be similar to you in that department. A for confidence. Be for actuality when it comes to executing returns.
Now, my brother played golf with you.
Oh, yes.
At an event and told me that you were an absolute nutter on the golf cart.
Oh, yeah.
He said you were just flooring it.
We had so much
fun. Reckless, I think is the word he used.
We decided not to play the golf, but to take on the role of buggy drivers. So we definitely gave your brother a ride of terror, to speak.
He did tell
but
me that.
But what happens when you give two women that like driving cars a golf buggy for the afternoon with no rules apply?
Well, there you
go. And we may have been delivering the beer that we're just walking past there to your brother in the process of that. Of course, we were not alcohol-induced ourselves. Natalie, we like to ask all of our guests on the Monday Mile podcast what their relationship is like with Monday. Do you like a Monday?
Oh, I love a Monday because you've got to remember that weekends I'm normally working anyway.
Yeah.
So Monday's normally my first day off.
That's a day off. You're normally on a plane though, right?
Well, there is that. I don't buy into this whole like Blue Monday business. I think it's all about mindset and I think it's about opportunity, genuinely. And I say to my kids, drive to school on a Monday morning, this week is full of opportunity. Go seize it.
Go seize it,
my little friends.
I'm feeling fired up. And Nat, we like to ask all of our guests if there's a life motto or quote that they live by.
I feel like I've got motivational quotes coming out my ears because my mum loves to send me them. But it's great. It's a nice little pick-me-up before the start of the day.
She's sending you DM slides on Instagram.
Yeah. Anytime we see anything, we think of each other, we'll share it. One that she sent me a few years ago was, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And that was from Eleanor Roosevelt, who, by the way, sounds like an absolute legend. She was obviously a formidable woman. I think the key there, though, is that you can dictate the terms by which you live. And as long as you can look yourself in the mirror and know that you're a good person, that you're doing the right things, you shouldn't and can't be brought down by others. I think it's so much easier said than done. I've seen it firsthand with Caroline, how it just broke her. Other people's opinions and the constant incoming on social media was just overwhelming for her. But I really wanted to learn from that, and I really want to teach my kids that. I think losing Caroline has made me incredibly acutely aware of what to do with my kids around mental health and to constantly talk about it. And I'm really pleased that their school have kind of bought into that as well. Like, much more is being done, because the last thing I want it ever to feel is overwhelming for them. And that's hopefully the bit I can have some impact in. But, you know, goodness me, life isn't easy, is it? But if you can have strength in your convictions, then you're going at least some way towards feeling calm and happy.
Pinks, that is so, so strong and powerful. Oh,
thank you, such a love,
so much for joining us here on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. Please do make sure you subscribe, and the audio will drop at 12 a.m. for the early risers. So we will always be right there walking and talking with you every single Monday morning. It's a wrap.